Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with our senior pastor, Ben Martinez. Don't forget to check out our website at calvarychapellubbock.church. There you'll find a lot more about our mission to love God, love people, and live radically. Now here's Pastor Ben.
This story might make some of you cry. And you go, why? Well, if you've ever walked a big dog, you know it often becomes a battle of the wills. You see, and I'm looking around for my wife because I know she would cry, it wasn't that long ago that we had a golden retriever who was a truly, truly great dog. We named him after someone in the Bible. His name was Samson because he looked like a Samson. He weighed about 80 pounds, and Samson was strong as an ox. Now, the reason it might make you cry is because Samson has now gone to heaven, because we know all dogs go to heaven. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But it was some time ago that I decided to take Samson for a walk. Now, I can't talk of Samson when my wife's around because she really starts to cry. She misses our dog. And I know most of you feel the same. They're family. They're members of the family. So I decided to take old Sam for a walk. Now, Sam was a very interesting dog. If I would ever get on my knees and pray, he would come and nudge me. He just didn't want me to get like this. And Sam was a great dog, but I decided to take him for a walk. And what I found out was our walk was really quite interesting. Listen, as I took our wonderful, obedient, well, for the most part, four-legged member of our family for what I thought would be a nice little walk around the park, it turned into one major battle. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about, but some of you might be going, Pastor, what kind of battle are you talking about? Well, Ben, what kind of battle was it? Did he almost get hit by a car? Because that's always a possibility. No, no. Well, what kind of battle are you talking about? Well, our battle and our little walk became a battle of the wills. And I want you to understand this. I begin to think, was I walking the dog or was the dog walking me? You go, how's that? Well, listen. As we made our way through the park, the first thing I did, like most of you, is I put a leash and a collar on him. And you go, well, why would you do that? Well, because right now, our Samson wasn't trained to walk without it. If I took Samson out without a leash, he would have bolted and we'd still be looking for him. So on our walk, I did something that most of you might do. I reminded Samson that I was the alpha dog. Sam, okay? I reminded him that I am his master, and I reminded him that he's the dog. And I reminded him, I'm the one who feeds you, I'm the one who loves you, and I'm the one who takes care of you. I reminded Sam that I'm the one who buys you food. You don't even have a job. You're living at my house rent-free. Samson, and he'd look at me, and I would remind him that I have our walk all planned out, and there'll be tons of time to run and sniff and breathe the fresh air. Sam, we got this. So let me illustrate how our walk goes. I would begin walking Samson, and you know this, straight out the gate, in the door, he'd be sniffing. He'd start pulling you to sniff. He's going to sniff. Okay, Sam, come on, let's go. We've got a whole park out there, and there he is, and he's that stiff-necked, I'm sniffing here. And, of course, you know this. I mean, then he'd have to mark his territory. And I don't know where all of that came from, but nonetheless, he had lots of marking to do. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? It's like, Sam, really? Sam, really? I mean, it was nuts. And then we would get a little bit further, and he'd see another dog, or he'd see a squirrel, or he'd see something, and there I'd go, be pulling me one side to the other, and walking was not fun anymore. But you know what I found about Sam? Sam, and I know this is hard to hear, but my golden retriever, 80 pounds, would often ignore my commands. It's like he didn't even hear, and he would outright disobey them. Okay, Sam, we're going to cross the street. And, you know, there we'd go. Sam, you know, and I mean, we're not talking little. I know some of you have small dogs and you can walk them and they're beautiful. And this dog was like, I'm going. You can come if you want to. And nonetheless, oftentimes, my Samson, 80-pound golden retriever, he thought he was walking me. And my dog often thought he knows best. He would oftentimes throw caution to the wind. He would run, jump, and he would often forget about the consequences. He would ignore me. After all, he would say, I'm Samson. My will is better. And he would say, my walks are better. You go, really? Did you talk to him? Yeah, I don't. You guys know this. You guys have talked to your dogs. There have been times when I've sat there and she goes, Nathalie would say, he wants to go outside. And I'm like, he didn't say anything. No, he told me. Okay. So some of you are the dog whisperer. I get that. You can talk to your dog. But this is what Sam would do based on his, come on church, his behavior. He said, I know better. You don't know what we're doing. I know better. You go, Pastor, okay, funny story. What's your point? Think about this. I believe as humans, most, if not all, are like Samson when it comes to the battle of the wills. You go, whoa, wait. See, our Heavenly Father, in his wonderful grace, what he does is he wants to walk with us. He wants to guide us. He wants to do all of this throughout our lives. This is what he wants. He's guiding us. But if you're honest today, we often ignore God or we disobey God. I can't believe a walk with my dog brought out so much in the scripture. If you remember James, chapter 4, he starts out talking, we're at war with God. He's wanting us to grow, and he says, man, you've got this battle. But now he ends chapter 4 with not war of God, but the will of God. And listen, saints, in the context, both themes are related. You go, well, how so? When a believer is out of the will of God, he becomes a troublemaker and not a peacemaker. Think about this. Think about Jonah. When Jonah was given the will of God, Jonah, I want you to go over to Nineveh, and I want you to preach the gospel. You know what Jonah did? He began to pout. He began to whine. He thought his will was better, and then he was not only ignoring God, but he was disobedient to God when he got on the ship in Tarshish and sailed out into the sea. I'm going to run away from God. And if you're being honest, there are many of us in this life who have run from God a time or two. You know, I could picture you, God is saying, listen, I'm speaking to you, I've got this, here's my will, and you're going, la, 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 can't hear you, God, la, la, la. You're doing that because we don't want to hear. Jonah did that. But do you realize that his disobedience almost cost a shipload of heathens into a watery grave? God's will? God's plan? Yeah. Oftentimes it reminds me, and I understand in the context, Jeremiah 29:11, you've heard that, so these are our shirts and our coffee cup mugs and everything else, but Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, remember, contextually, he's talking to Israel. I get that. Okay, they've been in captivity, and he's going, listen, you're not going to be here all your life. It's only 70 years, but I've got a plan for you. I've got a future and a hope. You and I, we can apply it because there's only one interpretation, but there's several applications, and so we can apply that to our lives. You go, what do you mean? Well, the word thought there in the Hebrew is interchangeable with plans. And so what he's saying, and let me read it to you in the New Living, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now listen to me. Listen, when you gave your life to God, when you said yes to him, he says, amen, I've got a plan for you. from now until you come and see me, I've got a plan. And you and I go, I'm saved. I'm saved. All right. And then we start walking in our own plans. Now, here's the difference. Here's the difference. You and I, as believers today, we need to plan our life like Jesus isn't coming back for 100 years. That's how we plan, okay? I've got a couple of doctors in the fellowship. I want to make sure they become doctors because I'm going to get old and I'm going to need them. You go, amen, yeah. Okay? Yeah. Pro bono?
Pro bono?
Yes. So they're going to plan their lives like that. But we're called to live our life like he's coming back in the next 5 seconds. Or maybe the next five. But God says, listen, I've got a plan for you. I've got a plan. And he says, the plans are good. And they're good. And see, God has a plan for each one of our lives. And the obvious truth is he is a God of wisdom and knows what ought to happen and when it should occur. He is a God of love, and he desires the very best for his children. His children. And too many Christians look on the will of God much like our dog Samson, where we sit there and we go, I know better. I know better, God. And oftentimes, how many of you ever said this? Don't raise your hand. But how many times have we said, your will, God, is keeping me from having fun? Your will. Your will is like bitter medicine that I must take instead of seeing it as the gracious evidence of the love of God. You see, when we give our lives to the Lord, he now says, okay, I've got a plan for you. I'm going to see this from the beginning to the end. This is going to be amazing. And I'm going to guide you and I'm going to walk with you. But oftentimes you and I go, no, 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 God, I'm going to walk you. Everything that I see down here, God, I've got. And I, listen, let me, we do this with God. How many of you are counselors to God? Come on. Yeah, nobody's like, not me. You are. Oftentimes you go, God, listen, if you would just do this and this and this and this, then everything would be great. And we like to counsel God. And God looks at us and goes, you're cute.
Yeah.
You're cute. You see that train over here? No, I didn't see the train. Exactly. That's why I didn't. How many of you, whenever, listen, you're just like, you have to be there on time. Like you go, hey, if I got to be there at 10, I'm going to be there at 10 minutes. I've got to hurry, right? And how many of you are like that? Anyone? You got to be there, right? Yeah. And what happens when something gets in your way? And your wife is going, oh, are we supposed to leave now? And you're like, I told you 4 hours ago. Yes, darling, we're supposed to leave. Oh, we'll be late. It's okay. And it drives you nuts. You go, Pastor, where are you going? I have no idea. I lost it. I'm just... But God has a plan. And when those plans don't work, we get upset. And we want to counsel them. And we want to say, this is what I want. And this is how I think things should be. But I love the will of God because I think of the will of God comes from the heart of God in our lives. It's Psalm 33:11. Jot this down. Psalm 33:11. It says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So God looks at us and he says, look at this. I've got a great plan for you. His will for our lives, church, is an expression of his love. And so we don't have to run away from it, and we don't have to be afraid. Now, I've entitled this message, The Battle of the Will. Simply put, what James is going to teach us today is he's going to teach us, jot this down, three attitudes towards the will of God. Towards the will of God. And of course, only one of them is correct. This should be saints of God, the one that we cultivate. There's three of them, only one is correct. So here's what I want you to do. If you're taking note, I want you to jot down these three attitudes as we break them down. First and foremost, James is going to tell us you can ignore the will of God. You can ignore the will of God. And then we're going to jump over to verse 17, and the second is that we can actually disobey the will of God. You can disobey it. And then third is, back in verse 15, it's obeying God's will. This is what James is going to teach us. We can ignore the will of God, and there's going to be that fighting with God. God, here's my life, and I think this is what I should be doing, and here's what I should be doing, and how come I can't have that, and all of this stuff. All of this stuff. Now, listen. God had a plan for me from the moment I got saved. I got saved at 17, and God had a plan. Now, there are times that I can mess up that plan, but God had a plan. You understand that, right? You go, what do you mean? When I got saved at 17, I had girlfriends. Not a lot, please, don't. But I don't know if you know this. I told the young adults group, I actually had a fiance before Nathalie. You did what? Does she know? She does. She does. And here's the thing. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna marry this girl. This is who we have for me. It was something called missionary dating. Anybody know what that is? Missionary dating. I brought her to church. She supposedly got saved. This is it. We're gonna get married. And then she broke my heart. You guys don't seem surprised. Come on. I'm like, who wouldn't want this? I mean, come on. And quite honestly, I was really hurt. You guys understand that. And we were going to get married. You know, I mean, really hurt. And I could see God up there going, you'll be all right. No, God. You don't understand. And it was just a few months later that I met Nathalie. And God goes, this is the one I have for you. You see, because this way, here's my plan for you, Ben. I'm going to call you. I'm going to sanctify you. I've got this whole plan for your life. But this is not the one that's going to help you get there. And you go, oh. So God does that. But he also gives us Romans, right? He also gives us Romans. And he tells us, too, that there are times when we can mess up God's will, but he still brings it back for good. And so it's like, okay, Lord, I really messed this up, but watch what he did. Watch what he did. And so there were times in my life that I ignored God's will. There were times in my life that I disobeyed God's will. And then there are times when we obey God's will. So that's what we're going to look at today. Let me catch you up to speed on what we've been learning in James, okay? James has been teaching you and I to be a strong believer, to be a strong Christian, okay? By dealing here each one of area in our walks. So what is he? It starts out with trials. You ever have any trials? You're like, yeah. Yeah, because what happens if you want to be a mature Christian, you're going to go through some trials. There's going to be some tribulation. That's how we gain patience and that's how we grow. Can I get an amen? Amen. Anybody ever gone through a trial? And did you not mature after the trial? You're like, oh. And here's my thought. I'm usually going, I never want to go through that again, but I'm glad I did because I grew so much. But I don't want to go, God, I'm good. I'm good with this test. And he's like, yes, how about the next one? I'm like, no. But we learn trials, and we also learn how to deal with temptation. We learn that it's like we've got to kill that thing, man. And then he taught us about behavior in and out of the church. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about our tongue. You guys remember that? That was deep. I've never heard our church so quiet when we were talking about the tongue. Why? Because the tongue is connected to the heart. And if you'll want to know what your heart is like, listen to your words. Listen to what comes out of your mouth. And that'll give you a really good indication what's in your heart. And so James is like, hey, you need to watch your tongue. You need to watch your tongue. Watch your speech. Think about this, guys, for just a moment. Last week, I was teaching in Amarillo. I have some friends from Amarillo that came down. And in Amarillo, I taught Isaiah chapter 6. Okay? And Isaiah chapter 6, it talks about, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. In the train of his robe filled the temple. And it was like amazing. But then Isaiah sees himself in the light of who God is, and he says, woe of me, I'm a man of unclean lips. So Isaiah was a prophet, and he realized that. And so he saw himself in light of that, and he's like, oh my. And he goes, and not only that, but I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. Why? Isaiah, in looking at God in light of who God is, he realized that his heart is connected to his mouth, and we have to be so careful. In other words, he could have said, Lord, my heart is dirty before you. And God's response is he had the seraphim take a coal from the altar and touch the lips of Isaiah. And that was just so cool, because the very thing that we struggle in, God wants to heal, and he wants to use, and he wants to bless. And so we have to be careful, because James said, it's the tongue. Be careful. Be careful. So you and I, we had to take a step back and go, Lord, show me my heart. Show me my heart. Listen, I'm concerned about the husband who in public is like, praise God, how are you? God bless you. Yes, brother, how are you? And then is awful to his wife and kids at home. That's a heart issue. I'm concerned about the person, whoever you are, that is like, is so generous and so amazing and eloquent at work, but around other people, you got to be careful. You and I are called to grow up, and we have to be careful with our speech. So maybe today you say, Lord, take a coal and cleanse me. If the prophet Isaiah said that, we have to be careful what we say. Why? Because this tongue could either encourage people and it could build up people, or it could destroy people. You remember that old saying? The kids don't. But that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Who remembers that? Anyone? Help me. Yeah, you do? Okay. I was looking at you and going, I don't know if she remembers. They're so young. Golly. We used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But words do hurt, don't they? They can really hurt you, depending on somebody who you love, admire, and respect, and they can crush you. So we have to be careful. Our job, per se, is not to come and be like, look at you. It's to encourage, hey, man, how you doing? How's it going? You walking with God? What? How can I pray? What do you need? We need to be loving people to life and bringing them back to the knowledge of who Jesus is. He's so beautiful and so wonderful. We got to do that. But I'm afraid, and not you guys, but I'm afraid in the body of Christ, we're more prone to pick and to judge than to love. And I want to check my own heart. Lord, help me to love. And be that guy. 2 weeks ago, we started James, and we talked about our relationship with the world. And you remember, he says, you can't be friends with the world and friends with God. He says, and so the question was, are we flirting with things that go against his precious word? And that was convicting, because God is calling us to be strong, mature believers. But I have to be careful, because what I allow into my home, I don't want it to go against his precious word. Nathan and I, we turned on something on one of the shows there, and just trying to get interested in something, you know, and it seemed to be pretty decent, and about 15 minutes in, they drop an F-bomb. You guys know what I'm talking about. And you're like, okay. And so I'm sitting there, and little beads start coming down. I'm like, and then a couple more F-bombs, and it's like, okay, nope. We have to do that, because I don't want to be flirting with that. You go, well, you're being legalistic. No, no, no. Here's why. Listen, Paul said, all things are lawful for me. I could watch that and be fine. I'm still going to heaven. But he said, not all things are profitable for me. And I don't want that to come in and start to stir in my heart and my mind. Take that one step further. We're an example to our kids. And what we're watching, we cannot, James says, you cannot say, do as I say, not as I do. We have to go, okay. Let me challenge you. This week, put in more Bible time than screen time. Let's just try it. Put in more Bible time. You know, I get we have our screen times. I get we look and we scroll. I get that. This is our culture. But this week we're gonna make a purposeful effort to go, okay, I'm not gonna look at social media. I'm gonna read my word just a little, see what happens. And we'll meet back here next week at 10 o'clock, everybody. And we'll see how it goes. You'll be like, man, you won't believe that, man. I felt closer to God. When you're tempted to go into your social media, which I am too, guys, I'm not preaching at you. I'm saying the same. When you're tempted to see what in the world is happening out there, let's take a moment to go, okay, this week, I'm gonna try to focus more on His Word. Now, don't read His Word on your phone. I know you have it, and it's great, but that's an easy way to go. We do it. Come on, am I the only one? You guys leave me hanging up here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, thank you. So today, if you are going to take that challenge, then I expect you to meet back here next week and tell me all about it. It's going to be sweet. I'm with you. So starting today, we're going to try to do less screen time, less TV time, and more in His Word, just praying and seeking Him. See what it'll do. If you come in next week and go, eh, well, then we'll pray for your salvation. We'll just. James chapter 4 is going to finish it up. My question to you and me is, what is my will? What is my attitude toward the will of God? Am I going to ignore the will of God? I don't know. Let's take a look. Point number one, ignoring the will of God, verses 13, 14, and 16. James starts off saying, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Now, if you have a pencil handy, your attention, please, the word come now, right now, tells us, basically, he says, hey, it's like when you're falling asleep, it's hot, you know, it's really, you're just like, and it's like, man, this guy's been lecturing for 5 hours. The speaker would go, come now, and it's like, wake up, you need to listen, and it's that monotone. That says pretty, and James is wanting us to wake up. I know my young adults in here that have been into college, you know exactly what it is. Your professor's going on and on and on, and you're just like Abel, I've been up till 3, I'm tired, and he'll say, wake up, and, oh, okay, because he's got an important point he wants to make. You guys with me? And he says, come now, you who say, listen up, I have your attention. Now, James doesn't want us to miss this, and he says, you who say, notice that, he's addressing those in the congregation who showed, listen, no evidence that they've sought the will of God or prayed about their plans. Oh, conviction. Why? Every one of us should pray about the plans that in our life. Lord, I'm praying about this. I'm praying about this. And so he's going, come now. Now remember, who's James talking to? He's talking to believers. So wait, Pastor, you're telling me that there are believers who show no evidence that they've actually sought the will of God in their lives or they've prayed about the plans that they're headed? Oh, how many? There's a lot of us that are like that. Oh, This is what I'm going to do. You can ask Lisette, you can ask all of them. I always challenge them. What if God says? Oh, yep, they're praying. They're praying about God's will for their lives. I tell Jeremiah all the time, what if God doesn't want you to be a pastor? I mean, he doesn't want you to be a doctor. He wants you to be a pastor. And he looks at me and he's just like, he starts crying. No, he doesn't cry. I'm kidding. He just looks and he's just like, that's cool. But you can see because we all have our plans, right? It's like, this is what I'm going to do. And then God steps in and goes, watch this. And it's the most amazing thing. because I was going to be a millionaire at 28. That was my goal. And God's like, yeah, dream on. I got a better plan for you. Really, Lord? A thousandaire? What? He goes, no, I'm going to move you to Lubbock, Texas. You've seen Lubbock, right? I'm going to move you to Lubbock, Texas, and there's going to be a group of folks that are going to show up every Sunday morning, and they're going to listen to you. I'm like, people in Lubbock are crazy then, right? And he's like, man, I've got this great life. And it's great. Why? Here's why. Listen, because I left my family in New Mexico, and God says, I'm giving you a new family. I'm giving you a new family. And y'all are family. You see, it's not a pastor congregation. I mean, it's not a pastor, you know, relationship. It's family. And that's how we should treat each other. And so God, I'm like, yes, Lord, I left my blood family there, but he said, I brought you out here, and here's what I'm going to do. And so he's addressing, he goes, there are a group of you who go, hey, I haven't asked God what I should do or shouldn't do. I can't tell you, church, listen to me. I can't tell you how many people come to me with the plans on what they want to do. I'm going to do this, 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 I'm going to do this. And I go, hey, have you really prayed about that? And they go, well, it's in my mind. No, no, no. Have you really? Because praying about it and asking God, show me your will, is going to be far better than you and I trying to kick the door down. Now, remember, we plan our lives like Jesus isn't coming back. Lord, because here's the thing. We don't need 55,000 pastors. But we need doctors, we need engineers, we need construction, we need all of these things. This is what makes the body go round. So it's not like, oh, well, but it's praying and saying, God, where do you want me? Where do you want me? Because what are these people saying? Well, notice, it says, here's what they're saying. Well, today and tomorrow, we're going to go into such and such city. We're going to spend a year there. We're going to buy and sell and make a profit, right? And James says, listen, can I show you the foolishness of ignoring the will of God? Can I show you this? And you go, why? Well, jot this down. Because he wants to bring to us, first and foremost, the complexity of life. The complexity of life. Because these people right here are not thinking about all of this. Now listen, okay, this is coming to mind. Listen, I am a visionary pastor. You understand that. I look at my guys and I say, I want to go over that mountain. Okay? But I don't ever go, well, what's it going to take? I just go, we're going over that mountain. So I need people around me to go, okay, have you thought of this? Have you thought of that? Do you know how much money do we have? How are we going to get there? What avenue? And I go, oh, yeah. I guess I'm just visionary. I want to go over that. I want to take that mountain for God. But I need people who are realists to go, and this is what James is saying. James is saying, listen, think about the complexity of life. Think about what they said, because they're saying today, tomorrow, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to gain, we're going to lose, we're moving back and forth, and all of these parts. But he's saying, guys, listen to me, life is hard. And it has every trace of complexity. How? Bills, rent, health, relationships, career, all of these things. All of these things. How many of us get up in the morning with all that's happening in our lives and yet still ignore the will of God? The will of God. I think about it like this. Some of us, let me ask it this way, because I don't think Natalie's in the room. She might be hearing it out there. How many of you are a list maker? You are a list maker. Come on. You got to have a list. This is how you do life, a list. My wife is a list maker, boom, boom, boom. And when you grow up, it's called a daily planner. You get in there and you have a daily planner. But now, in this century, these kids are looking at me like, what's a daily planner? It's your phone, okay, where you put stuff you got to do. I get that. But a lot of times, guys, what James is saying is like, listen, you're planning all of these things, but none of you have taken a minute to ask what my will is. None of you have said, oh, should we do this? Should we really do this? And I think a better way for you and I as we grow in the Lord is to go, God, here's our daily planner. Here's what, but you might want to change it. you might want to change it. And we have to be flexible. Why? Because sometimes in our list, we've got to get the list done. We've got to mark it off, and God's going, listen, I had something for you to do here. And we're so focused instead of going, okay, Lord, here is my list, and I know that my wife will work hard to get the list done. I get that. But I wonder if we should stop and go, Lord, here's my list, but if you want to change it, you can. If you want to change it, you can. I'm okay. Pastor Chuck used to tell us, blessed are the flexible, for they will not be broken. And we need to be flexible at times. Back in James, notice what he says. Come now, listen. You who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Or what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Guys, let me give you number two. So we saw the complexity of life, but here's what I want to show you, the uncertainty of life. Why? Because James says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. How many of us know what's going to happen tomorrow? We don't know. We don't have a clue. This statement is probably based on Proverbs 27:1, where it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring forth. Guys, life is uncertain. We don't know. This is what James is saying. He's saying, listen, be careful. You don't say this because you got the complexity of life, you got the uncertainty of life. And this is, it just reminded me, when I thought about it, it reminded me of the parable that Jesus taught, right? Jesus taught. If you're a quick turner, you can go over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, if you go back, I want to show you. If not, it'll probably be on the screen. So just look at Luke chapter 12. This is the parable that Jesus said. He says, then he spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said this, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and I will store all my crops and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For God has said to them, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then those whose things will be which you have provided. So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. In other words, what he's saying? He's saying, you got the guy who goes, hey, man, what am I gonna? I'm gonna build bigger barns. He's going, listen. Here's what it should be. It should be, hey, there's a guy, and he was a rich man, and he yielded plentifully, and he said to the Lord, God, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to handle this? How can I glorify you? It's the same for us, church. His life is uncertain. None of us knows what tomorrow brings. And oh, how we need to live our lives focused on the one who loves us. I used to say this a lot. I used to say, Lord, if this is my last day on earth, make my life count for you. This is my last day on earth. Because we don't know. We don't know. Pastor Sof told us, and Yvonne posted, of a young girl, 19, whose life was quickly taken in an automobile crash. We don't know what life is going to throw at us, guys. She had her whole life ahead of her. And in an instant. So we have the complexity, life is hard. Then you have the uncertainty. You guys know what I'm talking about. But then he talks about the brevity of life. Look at verse 14. Well, before you do, Webster defines brevity as the briefness and the shortness of time. And at the end of 14, it says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. So what is James saying? James is asking us to consider the fragility of human life and the fact that we live and move only at the permission of God. And James will not discourage us from planning and doing, only from planning and doing apart from the reliance of God. So James not looking at you, Faith, and saying, oh, you better not plan your life. He's saying, no, plan your life, but please involve me so I can guide you and move you. It's like the same of walking Samson. Samson, I've got you, buddy, but I'm going to take care of you. And Samson's not going, no, we're going for a walk, and I'm going to go wherever I want to go. And he's saying the brevity of life, and life seems long, and we measure it in years. But in comparison to eternity, guys, life, James says, is but a vapor. It's but a vapor. James may have borrowed the figure from the Old Testament book of Job, where you find many pictures of the brevity of life. Let me give you three of them. Job 7:6 says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. James 7:9, the cloud is consumed and vanishes away. That fast. Job 9:25 says, our days upon the earth are a shadow. Our shadow. Guys, think about this. You and I, we count each birthday. But you know what God says? God says, okay, that's fine. But God tells us to number our days. Number our days. What do you have for me, Lord? Make my life count. So we begin James 4 by ignoring God's will. But notice in me in verse 16, not only does this person ignore it, but he actually brags about it. Look at verse 16. He says, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now, you and I would be aghast thinking believers are really boasting in their arrogance. He says, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans. And he goes, and you know what? That's just evil. All boasting is evil. And in other words, he's saying, you're bragging about your own plans, and such self-confidence never pleases God. Don't brag about it. And that leads us to the second attitude. It's disobeying God's will. Look at verse 17 with me. He says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. Now, notice these people, they know the will of God, but they choose to disobey it. This attitude expresses more pride than does the first. The first. I want you to put on your thinking caps, church. For any person to say, I know what you want me to do, but I prefer not to do it. I really know more about this than you do. You know what James says? That's a sin. That's a sin. You know another translation? God, I got this. I got this. No. No. It was Peter who declares in 2 Peter 2:21, jot this down. He says, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. It's far better for us not to know than to go, oh, I know. I know. If you're not here on Wednesday nights, we're actually going in an overview in the book of Ezekiel. And what we've learned in the book of Ezekiel and throughout the Bible is that I don't think you can lose your salvation. I think when you're saved, you're saved. But I think there are people who can walk away from their salvation. They can choose, and this is not just like a one-time, oh, I sinned. It's you're choosing a lifestyle, a habitual lifestyle of away from God. And you knew the goodness of God. You tasted his grace. You tasted his mercy. You tasted his peace. And for some reason, the world lured you back. And this is what he's saying. He said, man, it would have just been better had you not known, because you've known the grace of God. What's going to win people back to their walks with God? It's not necessarily a stern talking to, but it's loving them back to life, to a place where they remember how good God was. This is what he's talking about. So I guess the question would be, why do people actually disobey God's will for their lives? And you know what it is? It's pride. It's pride. You remember that song from last week, the Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way? I did it my way. This is what he's saying, but people want to say that. Why? Because in our flesh, we all want to be the captain of our own soul. But it really is God who should steer the ship, because he sees the beginning all the way to the end. And he's got you in his hand, and he's walking in that. Let me give you attitude number three, obeying the will of God. Jump back to verse 15. He says, instead of what we learned, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and that. If the Lord wants us, then we will. That's a great place to be. This is going to be, you know? So we need to be obedient to the will of God. We know what it is because it's found in his word, and so now we need to obey. When I was a little kid, I remember asking my dad, you know, if we were going to go visit grandma and grandpa on the weekend. And every time, I kid you not, he said, if the Lord wills. My dad had every means and every way to get to grandma and grandpa's house on that weekend. But my dad always said, I'll never forget, if the Lord wills. And what he meant was, listen, you know what? I'm not the captain of my own ship. I plan, come on somebody, I plan to go, but things could change. And we're going to be obedient to the Lord. And he would say that all the time, if the Lord wills. And so we need to understand that obeying the will of God is a growing experience. Much like that progressive sanctification. We're going to grow. When you're young and immature, you're going to sing, I did it my way, I want to do my... But when you get older and you're mature, you go, no, you know what? I'm going to see what God has for us. I'm going to see what God wants to do. Most of you in this room moved from another state. And I pray that you ask the Lord. And it wasn't you going, oh, I'm going to move to Lubbock, because I don't know who would move to Lubbock unless God calls them. I love it here, but it's like it has to be a calling. Because you can't get here from anywhere. I mean, there's no straight road through, and it's just like, oh, you know what, this is nice. I think I'll stay here. It's like, no, God's going, get to Lubbock. And then you show up to Calvary, I'm like, what are you doing here? Well, God called me from where? California. California, really? But I'm praying that you said, and I'm praying that those of you who find fellowship in this church have asked God, Lord, do you want me here? Do I feel home at home here? As much as I'd love this church to be super packed even more three times over, we want people who are going to be a family and who are ministered to and here. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. So we need to understand, guys. We need to understand that obeying the will of God is a growing experience. And so first and foremost, we should know his will. It's Acts 22 and 14 that says, then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. John 17:7 says, now they have known all things which you have given me are from you. So the first thing we need to know is we need to know his will. You go, well, Ben, what happens when I've prayed and I don't hear anything? Well, then just stay still. Just stay still. Okay. Because God's not holding out on you going, ah, watch this. Psych. Watch. He's not that way. He's going, well, no, hold on. I've got something so much better for you. Hold on. And you're like, okay. And then when it comes to play, the second thing we need to understand is God wants us to understand his will. Look at Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's what Paul writes to the Ephesians. And then over in John 15:15, he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So God makes his will known to us. We know. How many of you have ever gone and looked for a job, or you applied for a job that you thought, this is it, this is the job, and the Lord shut the door, and you're just upset? I can't, that was a perfect job. And God's like, no, I have something better for you. Just be patient. And we don't. I don't know about you, but I'm a professional door kicker. You know what that is? The door closes and I'm like, watch this. And I try to kick it open because I want my will. And God's saying, no, it's time to grow up. Let's go back and go, okay, Lord. And I love talking to you guys who tell me, who really encourage me and go, you know what? And I'm like, hey, did you get the job? And they're like, no, but that's okay. God has it in control. I'm like, but that would be a perfect job. No, God's got this. I'm okay wherever I'm at. I'm almost like, oh, I want that faith. Because I want to understand God's will. He's not calling me servant, he's calling me friend, and I want to know God's will. I want to know God's will. But third, we also need to prove God's will. How so? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Do you guys see that? What is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. I want you to circle that word for prove, because it actually means to prove by experience. To prove by experience. So he's going, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why, Lord? So that we can prove by experience what is good and acceptable. You're going, amen, amen. We need to learn to determine the will of God by working at it. The more we obey, the easier it is to discover what God wants us to do. And finally, number four, we must do the will of God from our heart. Look at Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service or men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. From the heart. So, what should we do? Well, number one, guys, we can ignore the will of God. This is what James is saying. You can ignore it. You can disobey God's will, or you can grow up and obey the will of God. The will of God. So as we close, we need to ask ourselves one question. Which of these three attitudes do we have toward the will of God? Are we totally ignoring it, and we're making our own plans, and we're doing our own thing? Do we know the will of God? I know what God's called me to do, but I don't want to do it. I'm going to do it. Or are we obeying God's word and will for our lives? Are we saying, Lord, listen, let me ask you a question. It's as simple as how many of you pray for your parking space when you go to the grocery store or to Walmart? Oh, that's dumb, Pastor. Lord, I pray that I'd be close to the door. Open a parking space. I'm obeying your will, Lord. What if he says, well, I want you to park way over here? Well, then it's probably you need exercise, okay? You just got to... Because that's what he does to me. It's like, you want me to walk? Listen, when we know and love and obey the will of God, we can enjoy his blessings. But life may not be easier, but it will be holier and it will be happier. I love this. Because in keeping with the same company as Jesus, we can say our food is to do the will of God. That's what he said. Lord, you don't have any food. He goes, my food is to do the will of my Father. So, Captain Obvious, this is how we become strong Christians, guys. This is how we become strong Christians. We're growing, and James is not pulling any punches. But what if you're here today, honestly, and you're not a Christian? You've never given your life to God. How does this Bible study apply to you? Well, in a moment, guys, I'm going to invite you to join the family of God. You go, well, how so, Pastor? Well, I want you to think about this. Right now, if you're not a believer here today, there's a battle of the wills going on. There's a battle of the wills. The Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart and saying, hey, you're not right with God. It's time you... And your will is going, no. I still want to have fun. I still want to grow. I still want to do this. Or you're just fighting with him. But maybe God is saying to you today, hey, it's time to let go of that will and follow my will. I've got a great plan for your life, but you need to open up your heart. You need to invite me inside. And that's between you and the Lord. Now, we had 2 weeks ago, we had a couple, and that's amazing. They opened up their heart. But maybe you're here and you need a rededication. Maybe you're here and you've backslidden from the Lord. But today you say, you know what? I'm going to follow him. I'm going to say yes to him. Let his will be your guiding and not yours. Amen? Father, we thank you today for your word and the truth in your word. We thank you for your great love for us, and we pray right now, Lord Jesus, that we would grow. Lord, in a room this size, I don't know who knows you and who doesn't know you. I love these people, but maybe right now, Lord, there's a battle of the wills going on. And what you're doing is you're calling and reconciling people to you. And the most important part, God, is that we are believers and that we're part of God's family. So I would ask that your Holy Spirit would do a work. And Lord, if it's not even in this room, it might be on social media, it might be on YouTube, it might be on the radio someday. So we're just asking for your will, not ours. Lord, I pray for every believer here that seems to be struggling with what you have for them, that today they would follow your will and say, God, I know your will. I'm not going to walk you. I'm going to allow you to walk me. Walk with me. Walk in me. Let's go. And they would make that commitment. But if you're here today and you're far from God, and you can honestly say, Pastor Ben, I don't know if I would go to heaven today, but I want to, and I've been hearing things, and God's been knocking on my heart, and I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Well, why do I have to raise my hand? Because I just want God to see your heart. Now, we had over 50 people in both services last week, and maybe today God's stirring your heart. Maybe you just need a recommitment to him. Would you do that today? If you're here today and you're not in that place that you want to be and you just need prayer, you need somebody to pray for you, would you just lift up your hand so I can see you? Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life. God bless you. God bless you. I just want to give my life to him. I want to surrender completely. Anyone else? You're going to have to lift it high so I can see it and just acknowledge you. Nobody else is going to be looking, so you don't have to worry. It's like, well, what are they going to think? They're not. They can't see you. Only I can see you. Thank you for raising your hand over here. Anybody else? You're not right with God, but you want to be today. Father, what a beautiful day that one person would raise their hand and say, yes, I want to be right with you. That means your Holy Spirit has been moving and working, and so I thank you for that. I pray for the hand that was raised. I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would move mightily in her, that she would, Lord, just confess that sin and just know that God is standing with his arms open wide, ready for you, ready for them to come home. Hey, if you raised your hand, would you pray this prayer? Maybe mean it in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I need you. I want to come home. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me because I truly believe you are the Son of God. And I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I believe that you rose again and that you're coming back soon. I need help in this life. Just like you said, I want to obey your will. And so I need that. So I'm asking Jesus, would you come into my heart? Take over completely. It's yours. And be my Lord. Be my God. Lord, would you be my Savior? And be my friend. As I choose this day to follow you forever, I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. We'd love to hear from you and see you in person at the church. You can find our contact information, location, and even give a donation at CalvaryChapelLubbock.church. We'll see you next time on the podcast. Until then, may God bless you and your family.